turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's the Way Back Wednesday and April Fool's Day. On the usual suspects, and I would hope that cooler heads prevail on the April Fool's Day thing based on everything that's going on, although there's some idiots out there doing their thing. But with that being said, hey, Barry.
Hey, what's up?
Nick's here. You got a shirt on today?
You know what? Just for you, completely naked.
Yeah.
Just all the junk's out and everything. Just for you.
Just for you would have been a hoodie. And sweatpants.
Do you want to do this via video chat? Because I am totally down.
Nope.
Me and the boys are just
hanging I'll pass.
Out. No, I'm just kidding.
But Nick said, hey,
I have on underwear,
he's in
shorts.
For the podcast.
I have on underwear, shorts, a shirt, and shoes. I actually put on shoes. So I had to take the trash out today, and I never took the stuff off. Yeah. So I'm
dressed
today.
Why do you need shoes to do a radio?
Nope, I had to take the trash out. That was my one chore today. And it is beautiful outside.
Yeah, it's a really nice
day. It is fantastic.
I just wanted to stay home and play with the dog and just run
do the yard.
Yeah. For a block or two.
Is that what you call it these days, play with the dog?
Yeah. What else is it called, Joel?
Oh, I thought you meant Pornhub was I just wanted to stay home and play with the dog.
See, that's your dirty mind just going south.
We're off to a good start.
As usual.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful day outside today. You guys are right. I walked the dogs this morning, had a sweatshirt on. I was like, this is how morning should be. Starts out a little chilly. By midday, it's beautiful, no humidity, and we'll enjoy it for about 48 hours.
It's supposed to rain tomorrow. So if you have yard work to do, get it in today. Which, by the way, it's about time to fertilize. So everybody get out and fertilize your yard today. Let the rain soak it in for you.
I
got that in before I got beeped. No, you know what? My poor wife did not get home until 1 in the morning. Now, mind you, this is a woman who gets up at 4:30 and is at work by 7.
Why such a long day?
Coronavirus.
She worked
17 hours. And let me just tell you, when you work 3 hours a day and you're in your jammies at the house, you tend to feel a little guilty. I am feeling so guilty right now about how easy we have it. It's just not even funny. So last night, after the show, I tried to clean the house as best I could for the wife. I did as much as I could.
I was
going to
say, you
got
to do some
here.
Nice things for her.
Yeah.
Because the people on the front lines and dealing with this. And, I mean, kudos to you guys, but also just be careful because a lot of the stories that I saw nationally and locally on families in which one of the two in the marriage were dealing with the front lines, I saw one where there's a mobile home service called RVs for MDs, where if you're a doctor dealing with it, they're like people are volunteering you can use their RV so that you don't bring anything home to the family. There are others that are like self-quarantining nurses and doctors in hotels and places nearby the hospitals to keep their families out of it. So that's, I mean, boy, kudos to her on so many levels.
Well, I will say this, and I don't want her, I'm not diminishing what she does, but she's technically not frontline like you know, a hospital ER. She takes care of the doctors and nurses where she works. She's what's called occupational health. So she's the nurse for doctors and nurses because everybody needs a nurse, right? So doctors and nurses at hospitals take care of patients, but who takes care of the doctors and nurses when they get sick or if they get COVID or if they're concerned or have to phone in and whatever? So she handles a lot of that. So not directly on the front line, but still, as you can imagine, with everybody, and she handles all the employees for the hospital as well. So as people are getting it or coming back from traveling or vacation or whatever, she has to handle all that stuff. So not
so
quite
she got
the
all
risk.
The PPE.
Well, so she does. She did ask, and they said yes, she could wear her mask or a mask while she's at work. Because did you see this like IG story of a nurse who tried to wear her own N95 mask from the house and they wouldn't let her?
No.
Yeah, she worked like in the ER or something and they were like, no, you have to wear one of our masks or something like that. She was like, but I have my own N95. They were like, nope. So she quit. She's like, I'm not risking my life for this. Like, you guys won't let me wear a mask. I quit. So she wrote up something and quit. And I was like, wow. So yeah, no, at where she works, they're more than happy to let her wear a mask and be if she has to be around people. It's not a big deal. And she has one. She got fitted for one and got one. So that's the good news.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but one of the other discussions yesterday in the briefing from the White House is that Fauci and the guys are in discussions in investigating whether everyone should wear a mask. And it's not so much for so that you can't contract it from somebody else. It's that you don't carry it and infect somebody else, that even if it's not the, what is it, the M95 mask, if it's just something that stops, you know, the spit flow or whatever, the droplets from being transferred from you, that any kind of mask would do, and that's something that's under consideration for this month of April, that while people are self-quarantined and doing all the things that they're doing, that they might encourage people to start wearing masks.
Yeah, but the thing I do want to point out that they're also saying is if you don't, you know, the concern is if everybody rushes out to buy a mask, then there's no mask for the medical professionals that need them. So first and foremost, just stay home. If you don't have to get out, if you don't need supplies, I know it sucks. If you need to get out, just go walk around your neighborhood, go ride a bike, go do something, go for a drive.
Well, and what I'm referring to is they said use the masks that these people are making in their spare time. Use the masks that, you know, you could – some people said even use a bandana or a handkerchief. That'll be really good because everybody's going to think that everybody's a criminal. But
rushing out to buy masks is probably not ideal right now. So don't do that. Because when this first started, Nora said that they couldn't get masks for her hospital. So she was concerned. Like I mentioned earlier in the week, she has asthma. So we were concerned about her going back and being around people that are around it. So because, you know, everything is secondary at this point. You're all, unless you have it, it's all secondary concerns. So
no doubt. And shout out, Nike now has changed on the operations front. They are going to start producing and attempting to mass produce masks so that they can help and make donations for all the people on the front line. So hopefully they'll get some stuff done there too, because we know that respirators and all the PPE stuff is essential and much needed across the country as we continue to get through all of this. So much more to get to on the shows. We're just getting started. It's a Way Back Wednesday. Nick, who's got hour number one?
Barry, hour number one. Joel, hour number two. I am hour number three.
There you go. There's the lineup as we go to songs from 1995. I don't even remember why, but
because
what did you guys do?
Yes, because it was the 25th year anniversary of Tommy Boy yesterday, March 31st, 1995, and it was also the 25 year anniversary of the death of Selena, March 31st, 1995. So we decided to do, since both of those were significant, we decided to do them from 1995. So there you
go. Holy shnikes. Holy shnikes. Your favorite team, the Yankees.
Have you guys done any April Fool's jokes yet?
I won't.
There's nobody around. It's like, who can I play a joke on or a trick on?
I won't, just because there's too much there's too much other stuff going on.
I told my cat that we were going to get his balls back. And then I was like, ha ha, April Fool's, you're not getting them back. So
that's not nice. Did you see, I retweeted it, though. There was a Lakers UK Twitter account that's like reports out of Portland are that Damon Lillard wants out, and would love the opportunity to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and blah, 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 blah. And he retweeted it and goes, yo, you guys know what today is, right? LOL. So, got him. Somebody got him.
Yeah, you got to be careful with any headline that you read today because it's
– Yep.
Just be careful, right?
Without question.
There's so much foolishness that already goes on. I don't know. I stayed off the internet for most of the morning. I'll be honest with you. I didn't. Because I hate today. I hate April Fool's Day just from the simple fact that everybody thinks they're clever, but they pretty much end up doing the same April Fool's jokes. If you're going to do one, be creative with it is all I'm saying.
See, but I feel like you're always overly critical on that stuff because you're a comedian.
Oh, fair enough.
So you're more apt to have heard them all before, whereas other people obviously think they're being cute and funny.
Okay. I guess the way I look at it is if you were a chef and people were like, oh, I'm going to cook tonight, you'd be like, oh, okay. But you wouldn't, I don't know. It's kind of the same thing, I guess. It has to be really good for me to participate or to appreciate it, I should say.
I'll tell you what, Barry, based on what you just said, there's going to be certain radio shows across the city people need to be careful about because there's going to be a lot of breaking news and a lot of information that's going to be out there that's going to be completely false that's going to make the airwaves very quickly today. I'm just letting you know if they're getting it off the internet. I'm just saying. So with that being said, we're not those guys. We're just going to make sure that you guys have some fun, talk some sports and other things as we get you going here on The Usual Suspects. We'll take you all the way till 4 o'clock, so we got plenty of time to have some fun with you, the suspects. You want to reach us by phone, 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number. You can get us on Twitter where it's at The Producer Nick, at Barry Is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the suspects. This is ESPN. Let's have some fun right here, right now.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting it rolling on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Beautiful day in the big city, a way back Wednesday. As Barry has hour number one, I have an hour number two. Nick, hour number three, songs from 1995. As we catch you up on sports and other things.
What sports?
Yeah, well, there is some, but...
Marble racing.
The biggest news of the day, sports-wise, Wimbledon has officially been canceled for the year, so no postponement, no potential makeup date. That's a pretty big deal. I would think that, like the Masters, those are two of the most iconic sporting events in the world. The Masters postponed. Wimbledon has said, we're done.
Yep.
I checked on Charlie Pulillo, though. He's okay. Everything's fine.
He's going to live?
He's going to survive. Yeah.
And rumor has it he still has and is wearing Jimmy Connors shorts. So with that being said, as long as he has the apparel, I don't think the tournament is going to bother him all that much. Now, the U.S. Open being in New York, that's a big one for him.
When is the U.S. Open, though?
Normally, I believe it's in June.
Ooh,
and well, I don't know if I've heard if that's canceled or if that's postponed.
Yeah,
no,
I wouldn't.
Hang on. It might be. August 24th. The U.S. Open is like the last major of the tennis major, so I think that's, it's later.
Oh, okay. Okay, he's good. We'll probably be chance. Back to normal by that. Yeah, hopefully.
God, let's hope so.
Could Seriously. You imagine?
Huh. But anyway, I saw the numbers.
I did see that New York is turning the U.S. Open tennis courts into a hospital for coronavirus patients, so I don't know.
Oh, really?
How does that work, I guess you can sterilize the entire tennis court before.
They have a ton of courts there, too. So, and they have time before they get back into tennis mode. If you're saying it's the end of August, I would think that depending on how long this stuff lasts and all the other things, is what you would hope that by end of June that they would be ready to get back to setting it up for tennis.
I don't know. You think sports are back by June, the way things are going?
No, I'm not saying that. Now, the NFL came out today and said that they anticipate that everything's going to be on schedule. Not to say that training camps for sure are, but they're thinking that the schedule itself right now, they anticipate will not need to be tweaked.
So August-ish?
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, teams go to camp mid-July, late July. But, I mean, I guess with the way people kind of kibosh on how much of training camp and actually being on the field for 2 days and all the stuff they do is necessary, I guess they feel like they could still get it in. Maybe they reduce the preseason a little bit. But they're, as we've said all along, they're the one that's in the driver's seat because they've been the farthest away from playing games, unlike baseball and basketball, when NBA was almost done with the regular season and baseball was getting ready to get started. So,
well, I know that the opponents are out, but I haven't seen dates yet, so I don't know the specifics of when each team will start.
So Nick brought it up yesterday. Curious. They said that normally, I forget when they said it normally comes out. I guess it normally comes out in April. They pushed it back to like May 9th is when the schedule release is going
to
be.
I mean, of all the major sports, the NFL has had the most time to prepare, right? Because it happened in the middle of the NBA season, so they had no warning. It happened right before the MLB season, so they had little warning. And the NFL, I feel like that's why they're the most confident about keeping the – they have plans, whether there's fans involved or not, to keep the season going. And they had the most time to come up with a plan. So I'm not saying they have no excuse, but it's still an unprecedented situation. But they had the most time to prepare for this situation.
Well, the Hall of Fame game starts – that they do have a date for that. So that's August 6th. So that's usually the kickoff of everything. So that'll be the first – so – man, you think about it, that's going to be cutting it close.
Yeah, I think preseason games may get blown off just so that they can ensure that the regular season, and of course, that's assuming that they get close enough to, you know, being able to prepare for the season because they're allowed to practice and we're allowed to have groups of 10 or more and all these other things. I mean, it's just so up there. I saw percentages today that the percentages were like 44%. That we would be back to quote unquote normal or on the way to normal by June. Then it was like 11% by August. And then it was like 7%, 19%. It would take 8 months to a year. I'm like, please, not 8 months to a year. I mean, that would be unbearable, man.
That's pretty crazy. But I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, when you think about, can you imagine though, going through this in the 1800s or the, you know what I mean? When these plagues and Spanish flus and all that kind of stuff was in the 1700s or the 1400s or just the advancements we have in medicine now and understanding and the way to communicate and get information out versus back then. It's just a year is nothing when you think about what people had to go through hundreds of years ago. So we're pretty lucky, all things considered.
No, and again, I think that a lot of people are out there thinking that normalcy and getting back to normal is like playing sports again. I think for a lot of people, it's just being able to go out of the house without a mask on or, you know, being able to, you know, go back to work and do the things that we took for granted. But I do think from a sports perspective, the one thing that people did realize once sports was taken away from them is that it is extremely important to so many people on so many levels, and that obviously we kid around and say, look, bottom line is, it's still sports, not real life. But when real life happens like this, it makes you appreciate how much your love of sports can be the ultimate in terms of a distraction and entertainment when you're dealing with so much in real life.
No
doubt. If that makes
sense.
Because the other thing that they said was, in talking, because obviously nationally and locally, the news stations have been doing a lot of conversations with the frontliners and the first responders and things like that. They're the first ones to say, you know what we miss most? We miss sports. Because when we knew we were working, like you said, Barry, with Nora, when we were working those 12, 14-hour days, but we could turn on SportsCenter in the morning and we could watch the highlights of last night's games, or we could get off of work at night and know there's a late night game that we could watch that could kind of get our minds off of all we just had to just detox from all we've just had to digest in a day's time. that's what they love. So obviously there's a new appreciation from people in terms of how much sports mean to them, which is great. It's just now we don't know when we're going to get it back.
Yeah, it makes you to me, when I hear, you know, you say stuff like that and when you see what's going on, the only thing I can think of is perspective, right? Because like you said, we say it's just sports, and it is just sports, but it's a big part of people's lives. So normalcy is huge for everybody right now.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's just so discouraging every day to sit there and listen to, whether it be Judge Hidalgo and the mayor, or it be Trump and everybody at the White House, and just kind of try, and it's everybody's guessing. It's like everybody's just throwing like darts at the wall going, it could end then, it could end then, this could help, this could. You just hope that the numbers don't reach what they were guesstimating they could in terms of casualties, and you hope that it's sooner rather than later. That's all you can really do, and then you just follow the protocol that everybody keeps telling you.
Hey, when we come back, can we play a fun game? Because I was looking at the schedule for the Texans. Do you want to figure out what their record's going to be?
Yeah, let's do it. Sure.
Okay.
Sounds great.
They don't have the, obviously, I don't think the order that I have is going to be the order of the schedule. But we can go through, because at first glance, you're like, oh, this doesn't look bad. But then once you start breaking it down, I think it's pretty interesting. So I'll post the link for you guys, and we can discuss.
Sounds good. We'll have that coming up next, as well as a whole lot more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. You can call that number, text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Yeah. Hit it! Na 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 na.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man. It's The Usual Suspects with a plan all the way till 4 o'clock here on ESPN on a Wednesday in the big city of Houston, Texas. It's Barry, Nick, and myself, Joel, as we get to sports and things, and Barry had some sports he wanted to break down. So without further ado, Mr. Laminack, take us through your thoughts on the Houston Texans.
All right, so here's the schedule for 2020. Now, I'm going to read it in the order as listed by fbschedules.com, which is footballschedules.com. I doubt this is going to be the order in which they play the games, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But here's the quick rundown. Bears, Browns, Lions, Colts, Jags, Titans, Ravens, Bengals, Packers, Vikings, Patriots, Colts, Jags, Chiefs, Steelers, Titans. So when you first hear those teams, you think, ooh, that's kind of that middle there is a murderer's row. And this is why I don't think it's going to go in this order, because it's three road games, eight home games in a row, and then five road games in a row. There's no way they play that schedule out, right?
It's going to be mixed that up.
Okay. So that said, let's just go through the order that it is on the website and get your thoughts, both of you, on wins and losses. So for me, starting with game one, Bears, I have that as a loss.
I do too.
They're at Chicago.
I'm going to say a loss as well.
Okay. So but again, I don't know that that's not game one per se, but all right. So then they play the Browns.
Where
I have that as a W. That's in Cleveland.
I'm going to say that's a dub for the Texans.
I'm going to say that's a loss.
Okay. At Detroit, that's a win.
Win.
Yep.
All right. Win. At home against Indy, I have that as a win.
I have loss. That as a loss for me.
Okay. And Joel, you said loss as well?
Yep.
All right. At home against the Jags, I have that as a win.
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 All right, and then at home against Tennessee, I have that as a win. Or I'm sorry, I have that as a loss.
Loss for me as well.
Okay. And then at home against Baltimore.
Loss and a half. Two losses in one.
You're giving them two L's on that?
Just in that one game.
At home against Cincy, against the Bengals.
Win.
Win. Dub. Yeah.
At home against Green Bay. W.
I'm going to say a dub, too.
Oh, okay.
I have him losing against the Packers, Joel.
Going based off what Stephen A. said this morning about your boy Aaron Rodgers, I have to give him a loss.
Shut your mouth.
Uh-oh. We got to get to that. So I have him losing to the Packers at home. Nick, you said a win. Joel, I'm guessing you say loss for sure.
Yeah, you don't have to guess. You
know. Vikings at home.
That's another loss.
That's a loss.
Yeah, I do. I have that as well. Patriots at home.
That's another loss.
I'll give it a W. I'll give it a win.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Yeah, without a quarterback, I take that back. I'll give him that win. Yep.
Okay. Indy on at home. Or no, I'm sorry. Indy on the road.
Indy on the road. That's a loss.
Loss. I just don't like them against this Colts team. I just don't.
So you guys have them losing both Indy games.
Yeah.
Hell yes, I do.
Really?
As currently constructed, yes, I do.
Okay. At Jacksonville.
Win.
I'm going to say loss on the road. I'm going to say loss.
Okay. You have a winning.
That might be in London again, too. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I have that as a win. Chiefs at the Chiefs. That's an L for me.
And for me.
Loss.
Yeah. And then,
well, I mean, Barry, you're going to be decked out in red all week that week.
Hell yeah, baby. Go Chiefs Nation, whatever. At the Steelers.
Loss.
Okay. I have that as a dub. I have them winning that game.
That's hard for me, but I'm gonna say a dub. I'm not confident.
Bearded Ben is back, boys.
Mm-hmm. And old. At the Titans.
That's a loss.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's a loss as well on the road.
All right, I got them at 5-11. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that would
Nick,
be the ideal
7-9.
That would be the ideal situation, 5-11. Hopefully, that would be enough to get rid of B.O.B. But seven. What do I have him at? 7-what?
7-9.
Still a below 500 team. Unacceptable, right? Even with the exit of Hopkins.
Whether it be 7-9 or 5-11, the good news then they'd have a higher draft. Never mind.
I have them at 8-8. I guess I'm a little more pessimistic. Optimistic than you guys.
No, optimistic. What the hell's wrong with you? You're normally the leader of the pessimism.
Yeah, I have them. That Pittsburgh game is probably a pretty pivotal one. But for some reason, I think the window for Pittsburgh is closed with Big Ben. So that's going to be – they're going to have to start to address that. That could be wrong. Maybe Big Ben plays his ass off and they're good. But I don't know. I just – we'll see. That's one of those games that could go either way. I think that it's always tough to figure out what this division is going to do outside of Jacksonville. Are the Colts going to be good or are they going to not be good? So you don't know there, but I think you can pretty much count on two dubs against the Jags. And then, you know, it's easy to pencil in splits against the Colts and the Titans every year, which is probably the case more often than not. But man, it's a tough schedule. If the Bears are decent, which I have that as a loss, that could easily be a win as well if they're bad, but the Bears could be good. If they get, you know, Bears could be really good. You got Ravens, Packers, Vikings. You've got the Steelers, the Chiefs. That's insane. So
it's a really tough schedule made tougher by getting rid of the best receiver in football and the uncertainty of just, you know, what they're going to have defensively and otherwise. And they still have the commander-in-chief running everything. So I think the luster is way off the diamond now. And I think that everybody is kind of seeing, you know, what this franchise really is as long as Bill O'Brien is holding the two key positions that he's holding. And you know, to me, it's like until they get rid of – I'm kind of like you without jumping off the bandwagon because I never was on it to that level. I just think – From a Houston fan base perspective, the moves, particularly the move this offseason, has made everybody a realist. Instead of being the eternal optimist and saying, you know what, they can still win the division. They can still do this. They still could do that. I think now is when all the realists start coming to the forefront and saying, yeah, maybe we really did see too much in this guy and this squad.
Yeah. It's, you know, last year we thought they would go 6-10. I think collectively we all ended up agreeing on it. Now, Nick and I are pretty close at 7-9, 8-8. You are by far the most pessimistic on this team at 5-11.
Well, and it's a combination of things. Like you said, that schedule, whether it's a murderer's row in the middle or not, if it's not played out like that, the opponents and you know, how difficult a schedule that is, it speaks for itself. And then with everything else, with the uncertainty of everything else going on around the team, I just, you know, to me, it's like I'd love to be more optimistic, but I'm not, because they're not going to get anything in free agency, it doesn't look like. They obviously don't have any draft picks that are going to make it a big difference. So I don't know how they're going to get better between now and the start of the season. And once they get into that season, they're playing a lot of polished teams that are playoff teams that are going to come in here and, you know, beat your ass and ask questions later.
Yeah. If you're a Texans fan, this is not looking good. It just isn't. It's not. With all the dumbass moves that have been made and now this schedule.
Just think about what you named, Barry, in terms of playoff teams from a year ago. Baltimore, Kansas City, New England, Green Bay, Minnesota, 5 right off the top. Indianapolis is 6. Oh, no, not last year. No, wait, yeah. Did the Colts make the playoffs last year? No, right?
Hell, dude, don't get me lying. I got to go look it up again.
It's been a while. I don't think so. But right off the top, 5 big-time playoff teams on that list. That's intimidating to anybody, because it's not just like a team that snuck in.
No, the Titans. Dominating teams. Titans. The other team in the division. Titans. Yeah.
So there's 6 in itself, because the Titans made it all the way to the conference championship game. You got 6 really, really tough opponents.
You pretty much have every playoff team in the AFC except the Bills on your schedule. You got the Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, and then obviously the Titans. And then on the other side.
Twice.
And then on the other side, you've got 2 of the 6 playoff teams in the Packers and the Vikings. So you've got, what, 5-7 playoff teams? And 2 of them you play twice, or 1 of them you play twice?
Yep.
So half of your schedule is going to be against playoff teams. 8 games.
That's a bear, fellas.
Yeah.
And I know they're hoping in all these mock drafts, they're hoping that a receiver gets to them in the second round, because it's a receiver-heavy draft. Well, that's fine if a receiver's available, but is it going to be the right receiver? Are they going to be any good? And is Bill O'Brien going to be able to trust him and have confidence in him and put him in a position where he can be effective? And is the guy going to grasp the system? There's so many question marks. That's the biggest thing. There's more question marks than there is definitive answers with this team right now.
Yeah, totally agree. Somebody wants us to do the Cowboys schedule. We'll do that. We can do that at some point. I don't necessarily.
Yeah, we can do that in July.
Today.
Yeah. All right, well, we got plenty more to get to. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It's a Wayback Wednesday, song from 1995, as we continue to roll through Barry's hour number one. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and Barry, without ever meeting the youngest and biggest suspect out there in terms of fandemonium, my daughter Taylor, we were driving in the car today, and I was listening to The Bench, and one of my Reed commercials for Fitz Roofing came on, And before the commercial could would even end, first she yelled, "Daddy!" And then she went, "Where's Barry?"
Aww.
Yeah. I was like, "Honey, this isn't the show. That's a commercial." And she's like, "I always hear Daddy, and then I hear Barry."
That is so cute, dude.
So she knows it. She's on it. And then, of course, Nick is bribing her. So it's all good.
There you go.
It's the only way I can get kids to like me. You know, I got to bribe them. Anybody to like me, I got to bribe them with something. Adults,
glad you clarified that. Yep.
You never bribed me with anything.
I don't like you,
sir.
Oh,
yeah, you did. Yeah, well, I don't like you. Actually, that's not true. You have bribed me with a lot of stuff. So I take all that back.
Peanut
I feel like when you're too comfortable just doing the show in your boxers, you just talk like it's, you know, us three in a commercial break. And I'm just so scared about what you might reveal on the show, Barry Laminick.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't disagree with that. I think that you have an extra level of confidence when you're doing the show supposedly shirtless.
But I think that would happen with anybody, right? Like, aren't you more comfortable doing it from the house, Joel? Like, just like...
Comfortable, yes, but clothed. I mean, he's braggadocious about doing it basically, well, as of today, nothing. I've gotten a comfort level of doing it in my office here instead of, you know, when we're all in the studio. But, I mean, I was comfortable there, too, but I can get used to this.
I do kind of – the only thing I really hate about it is the delay, because there's some very awkward moments that occur when we're trying to talk.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's the only thing I hate. Otherwise, yeah, if I never saw your faces again, I'd be good. Well, April Fools! Nice. No, just kidding. I don't want to see you.
Still not nice.
Okay. So what do you think of Stephen A.'s comments? I really want to get your thoughts.
Tell Barry what he said.
So Stephen A. was on ESPN, and it was Max Kellerman, and it was Booger as well. Booger and Max disagreed with Stephen A., but Stephen A. made the argument that until Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl, he may not be talked about among the elite of the elite quarterbacks that have ever played the game. True or false?
False.
Joel obviously disagrees with Stephen A. And I actually...
I'm going to talk about guys that aren't even going to be on the roster. So what do I know? But he's a bad man. One minute he's completely got Aaron Rodgers' game balls in his mouth, and the next minute he's sitting there telling him he's not going to be one of the elite of all elite.
He's a Super Bowl champ. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He's a how many regular season
league MVPs
does he have, Joel?
One.
I thought it was two or three.
Maybe two.
League MVPs, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl champ. I mean, I don't know what else.
And then the numbers.
Yeah, and then
statistically,
the numbers.
He's not even done playing yet. When all the numbers are piled up, especially in a pass-happy NFL, he should be more worried about the...
Yeah, that's an asinine statement to make. I mean, I don't think that's the case at all.
Another part of his argument was those who won more than one Super Bowl won a second not too far away from when they won their first Super Bowl. And the last time that Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl, I believe, was 2010. If he, you know, finishes his career without winning another Super Bowl, the last time he was, playing like championship or Super Bowl level was in 2010 and not necessarily.
He's an idiot again, because if you look at it, you can say how many Super Bowls. But at the same time, when you look at how many conference championships he's gotten the team to, basically in a couple of cases, solely on his own abilities, because they didn't have anything left around him with injuries and otherwise, he really can't. You could try and rest that on that. And then need I remind you, if he's going to base it on Super Bowls, Eli Manning has two Super Bowls, and everybody's really questioning whether he's even borderline Hall of Fame. So if that's your criteria that it's got to be Super Bowl-based, it's flawed. But if you look at the overall career, including Super Bowls and individual accolades, I don't know how you don't put him up there when people know and have seen, you know, some of the throws he's made, some of the ways he's won games. It's just, to me, it's just Stephen A. trying to create more hot takes so that people watch ESPN.
He also said that the Milwaukee Bucks suck and they'll never win an NBA championship as long as Giannis is the leader. And he went on to say that the Brewers are terrible. And he just went on this rant. I'll send you the clip.
Didn't he also say that the University of Houston was a junior college?
Did he say that?
See? Suck it, Nick. I can come back at you just like that. That's fine. And there is no April Fools. How about that?
No, he only said the Aaron Rodgers comment, obviously.
Oh, I know.
But I thought that was crazy, too, because just because it was, what, 10 years ago, I don't think that removes you from the elite conversation. It's about how you play throughout your entire career. So I thought it was kind of a crazy statement, too. But Booger and Max Kellerman did disagree with him. So,
I mean, you guys.
That doesn't make me feel any better. If I'm on the same side as Booger, now I feel like a dumbass.
But just turn on ESPN in the mornings, and I know, Barry, you cringe at doing that. But it's worse than it normally is because now every day it's some story so that Stephen A. can crap on the Cowboys or Tom or what's the latest with Tom Brady or, you know, and obviously because they have all their NFL guys accessible remotely that they're going to do a lot of talking. But it almost seems like, you know, they took our conversation yesterday to another level in terms of trying to get what Chris Godwin should have asked for in terms of to give Tom Brady number 12. And it took up a whole segment.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're ESPN, man. I mean, obviously the pickings are slim right now in terms of you can't talk about last night games and such. But if the three of us had access to like eight ex-NFLers and three or four ex-college and NBA players that were reputable and all these things, we could have a whole hell of a lot better discussions than that.
You think?
I do.
Mean, we did. Yeah. Just like you said, though, I mean, we did talk about it on our show, too, so.
Well, I mean, I get that they're stealing our content daily when I see that that and some of these sites that are sending out daily headlines to be talked about when we've already talked about them, but. No, I mean, look, not to blow our own horn, but I think that we actually put enough time and effort into researching each show to where we come up with stuff that's kind of fresh. We've already said we don't do Mount Rushmores. We don't do the easy outs that a lot of shows do. But at the same time, if you had access to those guys that in most cases are too far away from having played to where you could throw out, especially here with Bill O'Brien's scenario, and take a guy like Dan Orlovsky who played for Bill O'Brien, who could say, you know, you could delve into, like, when you were in the locker room, was he like this? Did you see this coming? Did you see where episodes on the practice field led to him wanting to get guys out of his locker room, even if they were quality players? I just think that we would bring a little bit more than what they bring on a daily basis.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you.
I love Greeny, and I think – and Greeny's obviously done a lot of – I think you obviously have – you're at the mercy of the four-letter network who knows that the Patriots and the Cowboys and Brady sell. I just think that with all those people at your, you know, your fingertips, there's some dialogue that you could have that could get real interesting for fans, even without games being
played. Yeah, but the problem is that most of those guys aren't going to go into details and spill the tea. They're not going to – give you the dirt you're looking for. They're just not going to do it. That violates the code of ethics of the locker room, and
that's a good point.
Doesn't protect the shield. So you think you're going to get these wonderful dialogues. It's just not going to happen. Now you get them on a podcast 20 years removed from being in the league, maybe, but I don't know that they're going to keep it professional and high level on TV a lot of times.
Yeah, I see your point, but I'll also give you the fact that, like, Ryan Clark, when Antonio Brown had all of his stuff, he wasn't afraid to go, I played with him, I was in the locker with him, I wouldn't want him on my team, this, that, and the other thing. I think you have some guys still that you have access to that aren't afraid of saying something that might violate a code or ruffle a feather. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Zoe tweeted us and said she's thinking about, or I guess it's she. I shouldn't assume.
That's nice.
But Zoe said, I'm thinking about getting some Nick's place to go. Any recommendations? I said Calzone. You got to go.
I did too, but
place,
I said.
You got to go Calzone.
I said Calzone as well, but really anything on the menu, you can't go wrong because their pizza is really good too.
The pizza, the Calzone, the baked Zithi is real good. They have so many Italian dishes, really good pizza. I mean, you really can't go wrong with that menu. So I think we all have had our share of Nick's place.
But no doubt about it. Yep. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Lots more to get to, including one of our favorite topics lately and it having an impact on let's just say some legal matters. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.